Church, it's great to see you. Fred, thank you very much. Fred was willing to read that. I thought 26 verses may be a little much, but I hope that you were able to follow Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, it's a significant time in the history of Israel and really the history of our world, because it is in Exodus chapter 20 that Moses receives the Ten Commandments from our Lord. We'll recognize in those Ten Commandments, many of them were not, obviously they're meant for the Jews under the old law, but even in the new law under Christ that's written on the heart, where we should love the Lord our God with everything we have and love our neighbor as ourselves, really on those two reflect a lot of what was originally written in those ten. But here's the point I want you to see, that this was a significant moment. I mean, obviously it got the attention, right? It got the attention of Moses and it got the attention of Israel, because there were thunders and lightnings and all this that was going on as Moses is receiving these commandments when he came down. And these commandments are presented. Did you recognize what God told them to do? He said to build an altar. Build an altar. First, he said, of earth. He said, if you're going to use stone, do not use hewn stones, which, as Fred's version put it, meant cut stones. Why? Because as you build this altar, you're going to make sacrifice. This sacrifice is going to try to help you be more pure or be pure. Why? Because you are approaching the holiest of holies. I am the Holy One. And so if you take stones and you put it, as soon as you cut those with your axes and other instruments to cut, you're going to profane those. They will not be whole and pure anymore. And then he said, do not build steps to that altar, because I do not want anyone to see your nakedness as you come up to me. Now, you've got to understand, they wore robes and did not wear anything under their robes. And so as they climbed the steps, they would be able to see underneath those robes. The reason God said this is it's a reflection of Adam and Eve. Remember, as Adam and Eve are clothed originally, they're naked. But they're clothed in the glory of God. They were clothed in His glory, and through sin and through impurity, they lost that glory. And they became naked, and God clothed them. But why would God, in Exodus 20, talk about, after receiving these commandments, the importance of building an altar? You see, the altar represents more than just a physical structure. The altar, under the old law, symbolized the very heart of their relationship with God. In the Bible, there are several places where altars are discussed. We heard read to us by Logan just a few moments ago, Genesis 8, verse 20. This is the first altar that's mentioned in the Bible. That altar was built by Noah. That altar was built after he came off the ark. Remember, he had been saved. He and his household, he and those who were in the ark, they were saved through that flood that covered the world. And once Noah came off that ark, the first thing he did was worship. The first thing he did was build and sacrifice to God. Other altars, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob built altars as they moved throughout the land, as they are becoming this great nation that God is going to has promised Abraham through his seed. And every time they would mark significant encounters with God by building an altar, Genesis 12, 7, Genesis 26, 25, Genesis 33, 20. Well, later on, once the Jews become Israel and they are wandering in the wilderness, you'll remember that they set up the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, there were more specific type altars. There were two main altars. One, the altar of burnt offering in the tabernacle. We call that the bronze altar. It was located in the outer courtyard, and it was used for animal sacrifice, Exodus 27:1-8. But then inside, they had the altar of incense. It was located in the holy place, and this altar was used for burning incense as an offering to God, Exodus 30:1-10. Later on, David decided that God should not live in a tent while he lives in a house that was built by hands. Even though he thought of the temple, it was his son Solomon who actually got it built. And inside the temple were these two same altars, 1 Kings 6:20-22 and 1 Kings 8:64. Men like Abraham in the Bible, he understood, and I know we're grazing over this just quickly, right? Because there's a lot to get to, but I want you to understand the importance of altars as we get to making the points of our lesson today. Abraham was a man who understood worship, and he understood faith, and he understood the importance of worshiping God. So he built four different altars in the book of Genesis. He built an altar of praise in Genesis 12:1-7. He built an altar of prayer in Genesis 12:8-13. He built an altar of peace, Genesis 13:14-18. And he built an altar of provision, Genesis 22:9-14. So as we explore the significance of the altar, I want you to see how that can apply to us as Christians today. In fact, in our lesson today, we're going to focus on three key aspects that happened at the altar. We're going to look at sacrifice, submission, and sanctification. I believe these three points are going to help us understand how approaching God in our worship, approaching God in our daily lives, approaching God over victorious milestones that we saw God's hand in, as we approach God in worship, whether it be corporate, whether it be personal, or whether it be with a couple others outside of these walls, we need to understand how leaving it all at the quote-unquote altar helps us as Christians praise God better. So the first thing I want to talk about today is this: sacrifice at the altar. What was the altar used for? To make sacrifice. The altar in the Old Testament, that was primarily a place for sacrifice. Why would they sacrifice? Again, it started in Genesis chapter 8. Noah has been on the ark. He has been through the flood. He, his wife, his sons, and their wives. And they've also been with all of these animals. And so as they are able to exit that ark and walk on dry land, the first thing Noah decides to do is build this altar and make sacrifice. What was he sacrificing to? He was sacrificing to the Holy One. He was sacrificing to Yahweh, the true and only God. And see, with that being said, he was also praising Him. This great aspect that has just happened, this great event that has just happened, where God spared Noah and his family that were on the ark, Noah said, "I want to praise you." And so he offered. The altar of the Old Testament was where God's people would put animals as an atonement for their sins. Now, I need you to understand something, that on the Day of Atonement, or when they would atone for their sins, the high priest would take that blood from those unblemished animals and he would sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant as this altar, as this offering was taking place, but that did not cover their sins. It did not wash their sins away. It just put them off a year. And so every year they would have this Day of Atonement, and at this sacrifice they would atone for their sins. All of these instances, whether it be Noah, whether it be Abraham or Jacob or others that built these altars to God under the old law, under the Old Testament, all of them built to make sacrifice. As Christians today, we recognize that we had one true, pure sacrifice. Jesus Christ at the cross laid down His life before His Father to give us full atonement. That sacrifice that Jesus made as the pure and only true Lamb of God, that sacrifice is what allows those under the old law and those of us under the new to have full atonement today. To have our sins washed away. In fact, Hebrews 10, verse 10 tells us, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was the fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrifices. It rendered them all unnecessary because that altar of the Lord now represents the cross. You'll hear from time to time people talk about an altar call. What does that mean? Well, we have an invitation. And what are we inviting you to do? It's not my invitation. It's not the church's invitation. It's the Lord's invitation. What is the Lord, through me or others, inviting us to do? To come to the cross. To come to the altar. To leave our sins at the true sacrifice. I'm thankful today, aren't you, that we do not live under the Old Testament sacrificial system. Can you imagine on the Day of Atonement how bloody of a scene that was? Can you imagine how messy it was? Can you imagine how the high priest all day long was dripped and covered in blood, and as much as he would wash his hands in that bowl on the outside, it would have to be refilled because it was bloody, 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 and all that blood did not wash away their sins. It took the blood of Jesus. It took the blood of Jesus at His altar, the cross of our Lord. And He laid Himself down so that we today can walk and approach God through the cross of our Lord. Well, I want you to know it's not just about walking up. It's not just about turning from our sins. It's not just about confessing the sweetest name of all. It's not just about being immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. It's about continuous sacrifice. If I'm going to think about the altar of the Lord, and I'm going to think about the cross of the Lord, I've got to think about sacrifice. And so today, I want you to keep in mind that sacrifice is not a one-time thing for us. In Romans 12, verse 1, we're challenged to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. You see, that is our spiritual worship. The word worship literally means to prostrate ourselves before God, to lay down our lives before the Holy One. You see, the more we lost that clothing of glory, when Adam and Eve lost the clothing of glory, nakedness became repulsion to God. That's why He clothed them. What did He clothe them with? An animal skin. That animal skin required blood. It required sacrifice. And ever since then, He has required sacrifice to cover up our nakedness and shame. And because we have nakedness and shame, what I mean by that is sin. Sin is the transgression. Iniquity is what we carry because of the sin. Today, Jesus Christ laid down His life through sacrifice to cover our nakedness, to cover our sin, to cover our shame, and to bear the burden of sin for us. That's why we must sacrifice. Sacrifice is not coming to a place where it is nice temperature, where we have nice clothes sitting on a nice pew. Yes, worship is part of our giving to God. But do not think today that you sacrifice sleep and that's good enough. Do not think today that you sacrifice a day out on the water and that's good enough. Do not think today that you sacrifice some time alone and with your family and you came to worship and that's good enough. Folks, some of us didn't even come to Sunday school and we think that's good enough. When I realize what God did for me, it changes the whole game. It changes my mental capacity. It changes my thought process. And worship is not a sacrifice. It's a blessing. Now, part of that worship is, yes, I give myself. In fact, Jesus Christ said, every day of your life, get up and take up your cross and follow me. His cross wasn't easy to bear. He was weak. He had lost a lot of blood. He had been beaten to the almost point of death. The cross was heavy. The cross had rough bark on it. But Jesus carried it. And in fact, there were times He couldn't carry it anymore. So when you hear, take up your cross daily and follow me, it doesn't mean that every day of our lives we're going to get up and it's going to be sunshine and rainbows. There are going to be dark days because we live in a dark, cursed world and we're fighting a power that is totally against us. But the more we carry that cross, the more we sacrifice, we're going to see that we're not carrying it alone because Jesus Christ is carrying it with us. Sacrifice is still required. Today, the altar of the Lord is not a place where we offer physical sacrifices, but rather it's a place where we offer our lives, our all. Do you think God still wants the principle of no other gods before Him to be alive? Yes, we're not bound by the Ten Commandments, but I guarantee you He is still a jealous God. And He doesn't want any other Elohim above Yahweh. He wants no other gods before Him. And so today, as I think about my life and I examine where I am, what is in my way of giving my all to our God? If He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Secondly, when I think of the altar of the Old Testament, and I think of what it can mean to us today, I have to think of the word submission. There was submission that took place at the altar. In the Old Testament, those who approached the altar had to come with humility and reverence and recognize God's authority. When Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac, Genesis 22:9-10, you know what he did? He submitted to God's will. Folks, that's tough. That's tough to think about, right? Abraham, I need you to leave Ur of Chaldees. And I need you just to wander and trust me. I need you just to go and I need you to trust me. I want you to hear me out Yahweh said? He said, I'm going to make you a great nation. Now Abraham's old. Sarah's old. And he's thinking, are you going to make me a great nation? And I am way past time. He said, hear me out. Through your seed, all nations will be blessed. Now we can see it from 10,000 miles away, right? We can see what was talking about. He was talking about Jesus Christ coming through the Jewish line that came back from the father of the Jews, Abraham, the father of faith. But along the way, he even tried to rush it, didn't he? Sarah's like, hey, God promised us this. I'm not getting pregnant. Go see your maidservant. And so he did, and Ishmael was born. But you remember God said, that's not the one. You will still have a son with your wife, Isaac. And then at an old age, definitely past the age that they should have been having children because they laughed about it, Isaac was born. Now when Isaac was a lad, what is that, 10, 11, 12 years old? He said, hey, he got his servants. He got everything he needed. And they went to make sacrifice. And you'll recall there in Genesis 22, he says to those who were with him in that excursion, if you will, he said, hey, the lad and I will go over there and worship and we will come back. And so he went and he built an altar. Why? Because he's in full submission to God. Now at this point, I have to read a little bit into it, okay? Isaac's got to be asking some questions. We know he's already asked, Dad, we got everything we have for the altar, but where's the sacrifice? Remember Abraham said, God will provide. But now at this point, he's tying Isaac to the altar. I would imagine Isaac's asking a lot more questions. What are you doing, Father? You said that God will provide. Why am I the sacrifice? Now, I don't have those words written, but I would imagine as a lad, I'd be asking those questions. And all I can hear is Abraham saying, He will provide, He will provide. We must trust Him. We must be in full submission. And then God, the angel, stopped His hand and provided the ram. Are we in that kind of submission to God? As it comes to the altar, as it comes to the cross, as it comes to worship, as it comes to God, are we in full submission? Jesus Christ was. Jesus exemplified perfect submission at the altar that started in Gethsemane. You remember in Gethsemane when He was longing for there to be another way for this cup to pass through Him. He was pleading. He was praying. He was bleeding sweat. Or sweating blood. But at the end of the day, He said, I'm in full submission. If you can't let this cup pass from me, please understand, I'm in full submission because I do not want my will to be done, but I want yours. That submission meant His entire life at the cross. James 4:7 instructs us to submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Are you in full submission? Am I in full submission? When I submit myself to God, I'm saying, here is my all. Everything I have, God, I'm giving to you. You see, submission at the altar involves daily decisions to follow God and His commands, even when it conflicts with our own desires. It's truly about trusting that God's ways are higher than our ways, Isaiah 55:9. Sometimes I think we get in the habit of thinking that, hey, I showed up for worship today. I sang songs. I partook of the Lord's Supper. I even gave. And that's enough. Now, we may not say that out loud, but we live it, don't we? We live it. Hey, that's enough. Because tomorrow I will submit to my boss. Tomorrow I will submit to my hobby. Tomorrow I will submit or give my all. I will give my whole self to things that really don't matter. Shame on us. Because God in the flesh submitted Himself to the Father of glory. What are we willing to submit? The altar represents sacrifice. The altar represents submission. But also the altar represents sanctification. The altar, again, of the Old Testament was a place of sanctification. It was where the priests would purify themselves before serving in the temple. In fact, Exodus 29:37 describes how the altar itself was to be sanctified. What does that mean, to be set apart for holy purposes? That is why God said in Exodus 20, do it out of the earth. If you're going to do it out of stone, make sure you don't cut them. It's not hewn. It's not cut from this. Make sure it's pure, full, intact stones. And then He said, don't build any steps because I do not want to see your nakedness. Why? Because He is set apart. He is the Holy of Holies. The altar even had to be set apart. The altar represented the process of being made holy, of being made set apart for God's work. Now let's think about Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we are sanctified. Through Jesus Christ, we are set apart for God's purpose. In fact, Hebrews 13:12 reads, therefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Jesus' sacrifice purifies us all. It makes us holy in God's sight. I want us to not miss this. God is so holy, He cannot be in the presence of sin. You'll recall when He was leading Israel around by a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night, there was a moment when Miriam and Aaron were arguing over Moses marrying outside of his race. Because of their talking about this priest, of their talking, breaking a law, breaking a commandment, God struck Miriam with leprosy. Do you remember what the cloud did? It departed. You know why? Because there was the presence of sin. When Adam and Eve, Eden, right? Paradise. God wanted Eden to be the home of purity. But when Satan got involved, when sin got involved, when temptation got involved, the first question he asked Adam is, where are you? He knew where Adam was, but where was he spiritually? And then he wanted to know, who told you you were naked? You see, they brought that shame, they brought that sin, and they needed sanctification. And we only can get back to God through the pure blood of Jesus Christ. That nakedness, that sin, that shame, It can only be washed away because of Jesus. The only way we can get holy enough to be with God is through the sanctification through Jesus Christ. So the altar, therefore, the cross, if you will, is a symbol of our purification through the blood of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 reminds us, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." This means that we are continually going to grow in our holiness, and we should be becoming more like Christ every single day. You see, sanctification is not a one-time event, but it's a lifelong journey that requires daily sacrifice, daily submission. As we get ready to close, I want to ask you where you are. I want you to think about, again, we started under this old law, this idea of altars being built to God. I want to ask you, where are you in your personal devotion to God when it comes to laying it all at the cross? In Genesis 8 and other places where they built altars, they would build them out of rocks. Some of those rocks would be broken pieces of volcanic explosion. Maybe through other seismic events. Or I guess the process of a rock becoming a rock, sand grinding it out for a long time. So they would take these pieces of rock from all these broken, grinded out things of the earth, and they'd build this altar. And then they would take that altar and they would spill blood all over it. Sometimes it would be burned. They would burn. But life through death would be poured out over these broken earthly things. Surely you can see the parallel. What's your life? What's mine? Oh, Terry, you got it all together. Now my life is filled with broken things. My life is filled with devastating events. My life, there are times I've got to totally grind it out. But because of these things that happen in my life and these things that happen in your life, we all come from broken pieces. God knew that. And so He made Jesus go to the altar. And at the altar, He spilled His blood. In His death, He gave us life. Christ, the cross, the final altar. It's where sacrifice was made. It's where submission was made. It's where sanctification can be had. Today I ask you, are you willing to submit? Are you willing to sacrifice in order to be sanctified? Will you leave it at the cross? Will you leave it at the altar? We have the opportunity to. If you have a need, come right now. It's together. We stand and sing.